fake news. What began as a description of utterly false articles fabricated for political advantage or just profit was immediately co-opted by Donald Trump to attack any story or opinion piece in the mainstream media that had the temerity to correct him, criticize him, or otherwise not applaud his stunning electoral landslide. This has, in some ways, put journalism on its heels, because no matter how reprehensible, the endless repetition of a naked lie does make an impression, and the is-so, is-not back and forth can elevate empty accusation into an unwinnable debate. But there have been moments of clarity and resolve. CNN's Don Lemon cut a segment short after a conservative guest denied a demonstrably true report by invoking the F word.
Please stop it with that stupid talking point that it is a fake news story. If you don't want to participate in the news stories on this network, then don't come on and participate. But don't call them fake because you don't agree with them. Go on.
Don, this is a fake news story, in my opinion, because the underlying
Karis,
assumption
thank you very much,
is
everyone.
That...
Thanks, everyone. Thanks for watching. Have a great weekend. Good night, all.
That's one approach. Back in November, famed First Amendment attorney Floyd Abrams said that in the age of Trump, the press should consider another option. If you are a news organization falsely accused of fabrication at the expense of your reputation, sue for libel. That's something like advising Superman to attack evildoers with kryptonite, but verily, it has come to pass. Accused by a Colorado state senator of publishing fake news, the publisher of the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel has threatened to retaliate with the very legal weapon that historically has made news organizations weak in the knees. Publisher Jay Seaton says it began with a column about an initiative to open state records, a bill stalled in Senate committee.
There's a bill in the Colorado legislature that would require government entities and government actors to produce documents that have been requested of them in the form in which they are held by that entity, so that if a document is held as an Excel file, we as citizens or the news media get an Excel file and not 4,000 pages of documents printed out from that Excel file.
But for reasons that were not necessarily clear, the bill kind of ground to a halt in the legislature. What exactly happened or didn't happen?
So we have a local state senator here, lives in Grand Junction, named Ray Scott, who chairs a subcommittee that this bill landed in initially. And without any explanation, Senator Scott canceled the hearing. And the Daily Sentinel, my newspaper, wrote an editorial saying, hey, Senator Scott, this is a good bill. It's good for Colorado, good for openness of government, and you should reset a hearing and pass it on through your committee onto the full Senate for a vote.
And his response on Twitter was to invoke the F word.
Fake news. That's right. He called the Daily Sentinel fake news.
Now, we hear that a lot. We first heard fake news to describe actual invented stories with political and partisan goals. And then the president expropriated it to describe any story that was critical of him or his administration that he just didn't like. But nobody has quite figured out how to handle this reflexive blaming of the messenger. But you seem to have an idea. You threatened, at least, to sue Senator Scott for libel.
That's correct. Newspapers are continuously criticized, and that's part of the proper discussion that goes on in a democracy, and I think that's quite healthy. But in my analysis, and I practiced law defending companies that dealt with damage to their business, to claim that the Daily Sentinel, which has been the largest news source between Denver and Salt Lake since 1893, that we are somehow a fraud or a sham, to me, it is made knowingly, falsely, and for the purpose of undermining our credibility. It's intended to malign. Those are the elements of a defamation claim. So my response was, Senator Scott, we take our role in this democracy extraordinarily seriously. We accept as our primary mission our First Amendment charge. You are attempting to avoid accountability by diminishing the speaker and diminishing us. And that's actionable, and I'm going to file a lawsuit against you.
Well, it's at a minimum an amusing idea. As you know only too well, libel for a public figure, and by definition a newspaper is that, is a high bar. You would have to demonstrate that the senator said what he said, knowing that his statement was untrue. You'd also have to prove that it was false.
New York Times versus Sullivan actually requires a showing not only of knowing falsehood, but malice. In order to have a cognizable claim, we also need to prove damages, and I've got those as well in terms of canceled subscriptions in response to Senator Scott's Facebook post. He posted the same thing both on Twitter and Facebook.
If I were the opposing counsel in your case, I would argue that once the president expropriated the term fake news and started heaving it so irresponsibly as a generalized epithet against the news media who would dare to criticize him or contradict him, that it did lose its literal meaning and is just a free-floating slur, hardly substance for an actual malice case. Would that not concern you?
You know, my response to that is there are a number of examples of real fake news. It's a real thing. It's a real phenomenon. He is attempting to describe a legitimate news source as the same as the folks who made up the story that Hillary Clinton was running a child prostitution ring in a pizza parlor. When your primary legal argument is that words don't mean what they have historically meant, I think you've created an uphill battle for yourself.
When can we actually expect the suit to be filed?
I'm in the process now of developing the very best claim that we can possibly present and blunt as many arguments as Senator Scott or others similarly interested would be able to make. So I can't give you a precise timeline. At the moment, I think this issue is more heat than light. And so I want to have a brief time when I can present the very best legal argument in support of this claim and not do something knee-jerk.
Well, there's one thing off the top of my head that I could think could backfire, that the press has fought off many a libel suit over the years by explaining to the court that what was stated was commentary or opinion, not presented as a fact, and that no press organization under the First Amendment can be penalized for stating an informed opinion. If Senator Scott were to say, well, this is my opinion and I'm entitled to it, and you were to prevail, might that not harm other news organizations in the future trying to cite its opinion privilege in order to evade a libel verdict?
I certainly see your point. I understand that over the course of a long period of time in this country, newspapers have worked very hard to never be plaintiffs in a defamation case, but now the question is, what's more important, a favorable legal landscape for defending defamation and libel claims or the integrity of a free and independent press in this country?
Then there's the sort of optics of the situation. The news media have generally sat there and taken it, criticized from the left, criticized from the right. It's uncharacteristic of us to fight back either with public relations or, you know, certainly in court. Will your libel suit, should you decide to file it, send the right message to the public?
Historically, newspapers have fought back this kind of assault with just more news coverage. What's happening now perhaps is different, and I will tell you from my experience practicing law in other contexts, I don't know why this industry would respond differently from any other company in any other industry whose primary asset is under assault.
Well, Jay, thank you very much.
It's been a real pleasure.
Jay Seaton is the publisher of the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel.
This is an On the Media podcast extra. You can listen to the weekly hour-long show on your local public radio station or by downloading it on iTunes or wherever. Thanks for listening. I'm Brooke Gladstone.